This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for New Year's Resolutions here at Car Talk.
Good idea, yeah.
Now, I thought we'd make resolutions, both of us would make resolutions today. And if we make them publicly, right here on National Public Radio, then our listeners can be like witnesses and can hold us to them. So what's yours?
Resolution, huh? Well, here's mine. I resolve that I will pay attention whenever you're talking, so that I can remember the puzzler every week. I never can remember from one week to another. I realize it's not nice of me to start daydreaming whenever you start talking. I mean, that's not fair.
No.
Especially when I'm daydreaming about what it would be like if I had a smarter brother than you. It's not nice, and I resolve right at this moment to stop it. From now on, when you speak, I listen.
All right. And I resolve not
And I know
to,
that I'll, say, I know I'm going to keep this.
That didn't last long, I guess.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway, I resolve not to make fun of you when you can't remember the puzzler.
Oh.
I realize it's not nice for me to make fun of your diminished intellectual capacities. Because someday, I too may be in your shoes. I may be as hopeless as you. So I will not insult you when you forget the puzzler, when you come to work in your pajamas. I will be kind and sympathetic. What's that look on your face? Did you forget where you are again, Stoopy?
Those are good. I mean, if we can stick to those resolutions, I think. What was mine?
Oh, jeez. If you want to call us about your car or about anything else, our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Toast in Philadelphia.
Toast.
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 Toast?
Toast.
Like...
Bread.
Yeah?
Butter.
Okay.
Dry toast.
Your name is Toast?
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I kind of like it. Better than Click and Clack, huh?
Was it your idea or you got a wacky parent?
No, it was a given name. A friend of mine with a craving for breakfast food gave it to me.
Hey, that's not bad. I mean, it could have been like cornflakes or muesli.
Toast. Well, toast is good.
That's a first for me.
Now we know you're a complete wacko, so what do you want to talk about?
What kind of a Peugeot do you own, Toast?
No, it's better than Peugeot. It's a VW 88 Golf.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is, we used to live on the West Coast, and we had to move to Philadelphia, which is a problem in itself. But
did the neighbors force you out, or what?
Well, no. But we're stuck out here, and it really rains badly out here. You know, lots of rain. And my husband was driving down the freeway. Mm-hmm. And we had about 1 to 2 inches of water on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
And the battery lost all of its power gradually. It just slowly lost power until the car stopped. So we thought, well, what's going on here? And we had the battery recharged, and then the next time it rained, it discharged again. And since then, we've had the battery replaced. We've had the alternator replaced. We've discovered it does this even if the car is just sitting on the side of the road, you know, out front. If it rains really hard, the battery will discharge. And it doesn't discharge completely. It, like, the clock will work and the lights will work, but it won't start the car.
Toast, come on. Give us a break, will you? Give us a break.
Yeah. I'm convinced that somebody must have had some kind of a contest arranged.
See if we can stump the chumps. Make up some ridiculous story.
No, I swear. And even if you drive through a puddle, the car will slowly lose power, and it'll go... It loses RPMs, and the little battery idiot light will go on.
Well, let me get this straight. Even if the car is parked, let's say there's a torrential rainstorm.
Right.
You don't go out. You just stay home.
We just stay home, and the rain pours down on the car, goes through something, it grounds the battery somehow, and drains the battery. We don't know how it's happening. And they've replaced the alternator, And they're saying they need to do that again, and we're just like, no, that didn't solve the problem.
Here's what's going on with it.
All right.
I don't know exactly how this is happening.
Well, I've got a theory,
there's
too.
There's a certain confluence of cosmic energies involved.
I might have to get this article. I got
but you yeah. are getting water into the fuse box.
Oh.
And what's happening is, because water is getting into the fuse box, and Volkswagens are famous for this,
mm-hmm.
something is turning on even when the car is parked. And you say there's enough energy to run the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can run the clock with a flashlight battery.
No.
I mean, I have a clock that runs on a flashlight battery. It's running for 5 years. So yeah. it doesn't take much energy. So the battery can get really run down. And what's running it down, perhaps, is it's something like the fuel pump relay is getting shorted by the water that's getting in the fuse box. And maybe the fuel pump is running for a few hours.
Oh.
So you go out. So let's say it's rained, and it would be determined... whether or not the car started in the morning by when the rain started. So let's say the rain started at 8 p.m. and you were parked all night long. It's very possible that the car wouldn't start the next morning.
Right.
However, if the rain starts at midnight, the car might start. It might start.
Do you have any evidence about when the rain starts and when it does?
Of course she does.
Every time it rains, this happens?
No, we haven't gotten that specific about it yet.
Oh, you haven't.
No, but I mean, maybe we should.
Here's what you do. Have your mechanic take the fuse box out. There are like 10 million wires that plug into it.
Okay.
But they all unplug. And if he's lucky, he'll remember where they all go. But you really can't screw it up because they can only go one place. They're all these color-coded plugs.
Okay.
And when he takes the fuse box out, I bet when he shakes it,
mm-hmm.
water will come out of it.
Ah.
Or some of the other components. And then you have to figure out where the water's coming in. It's either coming in through the fender or the windshield or someplace like that.
Now, maybe we need an umbrella.
Well, you need is a garage.
See, another possibility. Has anyone ever, like, raised the hood and looked when this has happened? Because another possibility is that water might be just resting on top of the battery. If that's the case, water is a conductor.
Evidently, my brother didn't have a New Year's resolution about giving stupid answers.
No, as we know, batteries do drain even if there's dirt on them.
They can drain in the rain.
They
yes,
drain
they
in the rain. And
yes.
because current can flow from one terminal to the other through wet, damp dirt.
Okay.
So it might be as simple as that.
All right, we could check that first.
Yeah,
I would definitely check that before
frankly,
I started taking...
I don't think I'd waste my time on that particular avenue. I would just go right to the fuse box.
I wouldn't waste my time on the fuse box until I was absolutely sure. Did you mention in all of this story that they had ever replaced a battery? No.
Yeah, we replaced
of course.
It twice.
Yeah, I would guarantee you, if you went out and bought one of those cheesy car covers,
okay,
the ones, you know, you drape over the car,
right.
Then and the next time it rained, you covered the thing up,
yeah,
it would be fine.
Oh, that would definitely do it.
All right, cheesy car cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's nice about those real cheap ones is that in the winter, they freeze.
Right.
And then you can lift it off like in one big piece.
And then you can leave it in your driveway right. and someone will think you're there.
Oh, you can leave it in the street and then no one would take your
No one would take your parking space.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Hey, good luck, Toast.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, don't go anywhere because we've got a lot more calls. Well, a few anyway. And the puzzler answer coming up right after this.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History, from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History, tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Okay, look, here's your first chance to make good on your New Year's resolution.
Well, I shouldn't be held to it yet because I didn't think of it until today, not last week.
No, forget it. It's all right.
Well, I haven't any idea. Give me a hint.
A hint. Henry.
Pepe's friend?
No.
It's his brother-in-law, isn't it?
No.
His friend.
Yeah.
Wasn't that?
No, it wasn't that.
Nothing
to do
with him. No. Henry VIII.
There you go. Now, I got this. I mean, stole this from Miss J. Spencer. She sent us a little booklet about...
I remember you reading out of the little booklet last week.
Yes, I read word for word almost.
Word for word.
With a few exceptions.
Hasn't come to me yet.
Okay. Name that weapon.
Oh, it's a weapon! But a weapon which we wouldn't really think of as a weapon. I remember that. Tell me the whole story.
No, I can't remember. You are hopeless, man.
I am hopeless.
All right. Henry was born in 1761 in Britain. At the age of 18, he joined the army, and by the age of 22, had achieved the rank of second lieutenant, as opposed to right tenant. At this time, he started working on a new weapon, and I put the word weapon in quotes, so even though Ms. Spencer didn't do that. He devoted all of his spare time and much of his money to this project because he had what? Nothing to do. He was what? In the army. 20 years later, his new anti-personnel weapon was adopted by the British, and Henry was subsequently promoted to lieutenant colonel.
Woof, that's a big leap.
It is a big leap. It is.
Yeah.
The weapon was named after the inventor, not the Henry part of the name, his last name.
Yeah.
He was eventually promoted to lieutenant general and died in 1802 at the age of 41. One of his weapons misfired. And, of course, he was never paid for his invention, as most people realize. People that have great inventions are never paid for them properly. I will add that his invention is still used to this day. However, when you hear... When you hear his name, when you hear this word, you won't immediately recognize it as being a weapon, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it is a term all of us have heard. And the question very simply was, what was Henry's last name?
I will give a further hint
at this point that the weapon he invented was a bullet, that when discharged from the rifle, and of course later on discharged from a cannon, would actually explode in midair, have a second charge, would explode in midair.
Got it.
Sending shrapnel.
Yeah. His name was Henry Dum Dum.
Henry Shrapnel. Was his name. Yes.
Sounds like a German name, not a British name.
Shrapnel. Hey, I stole it from the book, so if it's wrong, it's not my responsibility.
Well, that was a very exciting puzzler.
Well, I thought it was exciting.
I don't know.
It's historic.
Really... it's really very good.
I didn't dramatize it enough, did
you
I?
You didn't. No, you didn't. I mean, there wasn't enough in there. It was a little historic, but it was boring. I mean, who the hell's going to know Henry? Henry Shrapnel. And who cares anyway? It was not one of your best. I'm sorry. It
wasn't even mine.
All right, don't even ask me if we have a winner, because of course we have a winner.
I always
have a winner.
I wasn't planning to ask. That's my New Year's resolution. Right. I will never, ever again ask.
Don't ask, don't tell. The winner is Professor. Professor Roger Amadon from the University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina. And for knowing the story of Henry Shrapnel, Professor Roger Amadon will get a copy of our meteoric new cassette, The Best of Car Talk, which features Darlene and the boyfriend who burps the gas tank, Will and the St. Bernard with the upset stomach, and our mother telling people that if they touch the dial, their lipstick instead of their dipstick is going to fall off. Anyway, that Best of Car Talk cassette is yours, Roger, for being our puzzler winner this week.
By the way, if you didn't win the puzzler and you want a copy of the Best of Car Talk, you can call our Shameless Commerce Division. The number there is 303-595-5905. We'll give you that number again at the end of the show in case you missed it. More importantly, we have another
rollicking good.
No, we have another mediocre, I'm sure.
Oh.
Puzzler.
It's too bad.
Coming up during the second half of today's show. I mean, if that one was mediocre, then this one's going to be putrid. I think putrid would be the word I'd use. This. We have another putrid new Puzzler coming
fine.
Up.
Fine. That's fine.
In the meantime, you can call us with your car questions or any questions or answers. We'd like some answers, actually.
Or comments. I like comments. I like to share ideas with people.
I don't think you'd like to hear what most people have to comment. 1-800-332-9287. We don't get enough angry callers.
We'd like our very dear friends in Montana to give us a call.
Yeah,
we don't. I'm sure we have one of them.
We don't have any.
We don't have any.
Yeah, most of our friends in Montana are probably of the bovine family.
Yeah. That would be all right.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Michael from Carmel Valley, California.
Hi, Michael. Carmel Valley.
Yes.
Sounds like
Carmel Valley is near Monterey.
Yes, sounds like a very lovely, peaceful place.
Is that the same as Carmel?
Well, it's close to Carmel. It's not the same. Carmel is the town, and we're inland from that and unincorporated.
Uh-huh.
So Clint Eastwood was not
Clint Eastwood is not the mayor of Carmel Valley.
Right. He's not the mayor of Carmel anymore either.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to know my problem?
Well,
not necessarily. What do you want to talk about?
Only if you want to share it with us.
Well, the problem was, first of all, it wasn't my car. It was someone else's car. And last summer, we exchanged houses with a family from near Edinburgh in Scotland. And we also exchanged cars. And the car of theirs that we were lucky to drive was a 1990 Mazda 626 with something called four-wheel steering, which I'd never experienced before.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we drove around Scotland for a bit, and we decided to go as far north as we could, and which takes you to the Orkney Islands. So we were driving on the Orkney Islands in their 626 and had no problem with the car. And the first sign of anything that we noticed was the sort of pinging you get with weak gasoline.
Yes.
And that lasted for about a couple minutes and then went away. And we continued to drive for about 45 minutes. And then the engine, started to miss, the sort of jolt you used to get with when points were bad.
Mm-hmm. Right, except that wasn't the case here.
Right.
Because you don't have points. And
right, exactly. And I checked the gauges, and there was nothing aberrant on the gauges or anything. But anyway, then it started to miss. And at the same time, or shortly thereafter, there was white smoke coming out of the exhaust.
Oh, okay.
Bad news.
I know exactly what went on.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happened, we were just coming into this little village. And so I pulled over into this convenient grocery store with a gas pump in front.
Excellent.
And stopped the car. The car stopped itself, actually. And from that point on, it wouldn't start anymore.
Right.
And to cut the story a bit short, it turned out that the radiator had blocked and the engine had overheated so that the head gasket blew and the head warped so that it was irreparable.
Okay. Now, they want you to pay for this, obviously, because they feel that you destroyed their car.
Well, not only are they Scottish, but they also feel that I was responsible for their car, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you didn't have some language in your agreement, which was all verbal, I'm sure.
Exactly. Well, we did, and these things, I mean, work very well, these house exchanges and so on. I don't think there's generally any problem.
What car did they get to drive while you were riding around in this piece of junk?
They had a 1994 Camry.
Oh. They clearly got the better of the deal.
Yeah, with about 15,000 miles on it.
Oh,
yeah. How many miles did the 626 have?
About 95,000, I think.
Oh, tell them to take a hike. Tell them to drop dead. No, I'll tell you, our friends Tony and Andrea did a similar thing several years ago. They moved to France,
uh-huh.
for
yes.
a year, and they exchanged houses and cars with a couple.
Yeah.
And they told the couple that had their, in fact, at the time, they were so enamored of the French that they had owned a Le Car. Remember that thing that they had?
Yes.
And the deal was that this fellow, whose name I remember vividly, Gilles Houdis, would drive their car, and then and they would drive Gilles' car in France, and the repairs would be paid
for. A Chevy Cavalier?
I don't know what he had. He had some nicer car, actually. But the deal was that whatever repairs were necessary would be paid for by the person that actually owned the car.
Right. Well, I think that makes sense.
Well, it did make sense, except When the car came into the shop for repairs, they had maps from like the western provinces of Canada, Baja Peninsula. I mean, they figured they're all going to be here for a year. They might as well see everything. And they drove this poor Renault into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's only fair that anything that would have happened anyway, then it ought to be paid for by the person who owns the car, you know, barring gross negligence on the part of the driver.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to maintain, is that I obviously had some signs that this thing was overheating. And
but you didn't.
And drove it into the ground.
But you didn't have any sign.
Right.
It is questionable, though.
But I would expect that you would drive this car with the same care that you would exercise with your own car, and you did even more.
That's beside the point. The crucial issue
is 95,000 miles.
Is do you ever expect to see these people again?
Not if I can help it. Well, I still haven't seen them. I've never met them.
You've never met them?
No.
So all of these threats have been by mail?
Well, it's all been done very gentlemanly.
Until now.
You know, there have been no threats. There have just been, I'm sorry you don't feel that you're capable of contributing and so forth.
I think it does make sense that you ought to make some contribution.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
Well, I did send him £100 to cover the cost of the car being transported. Well,
£100 of what? if that was just to get it back to his garage.
I could have just left it at the side of the road as well.
You could have.
Sure.
I'm sure he's grateful that you didn't do that. But let's say the life expectancy of this car is 100. This engine is 125,000 miles.
Uh-huh.
Then you would. I think it would be fair that he should pay 95/125 of the cost of the new engine, and you should pay the remainder.
I'll figure it out.
I'm confident.
That sounds like a reasonable solution.
And I would do the math for him. You know, throw in a couple of those sigma signs and factorials,
and point
all
out that the equations are highly nonlinear.
Right.
I think he's a mathematician.
Oh, he'll appreciate that. Then. Good luck, Mike.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What happens when you swap like that? Who should pay what?
Well, that's why
it's so hard.
It's always important.
Out.
I mean, as much as you hate lawyers. And a lawyer would not be required in this instance.
No.
But it's important for people that enter into agreements like this to have some kind of
all the more reason that you don't
policy.
Need a
policy.
You don't need
you
a
don't
lawyer.
You don't need a lawyer. No, but you need to have a policy for what happens when a situation like this arises.
Yeah.
Had they had a policy, there'd be no controversy at this point.
Exactly. And Tony and Andrea had the right deal.
Well, no, they took it
in
the air.
They took it heavy.
Oh, these was in every week. Oh, mon Dieu, I need tires. I wore them out in Zimbaha. They melted. And I had to fly the car back.
And did he have the car, like, converted to a convertible? Off the roof?
I mean, there was not one.
Trailer hitch?
We became expert on those cars in the 1 year that it was, because there was not a single repair that we didn't do.
Udiz, his name was.
Udiz. Gilles Udiz.
Hey, you're going to get some messages, then you're going to get the new puzzle, so hang around.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, the automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares how cash can be part of a balanced savings strategy for investors.
Oftentimes people think of their cash as the money they're using, but when there's a high rate environment, your cash can also be a form of savings. So savings can sit in your cash account and savings can sit in an investing account. And on average and over time, investments go up, but in a high interest rate environment, you can get a more predictable return in a high yield savings account. And so investors can choose both strategies, an investment strategy as well as a cash strategy, to both protect your principal because cash doesn't go down the way markets can, but also to earn a high yield.
Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk, performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and tricky diction.
Well, sort of. This is from Chris Brown from St. Louis, Missouri. Wasn't the first letter I read from Missouri also?
No.
God, everyone's from Missouri. Dear Tom and Ray, I'm writing to thank you for solving a potentially humiliating problem for me and my family. My sister recently came in from the cold, so to speak, when she returned to the United States for a couple of weeks from her current home in Moscow. Oh, it sounds like 007. She's been living there for 3 years, and in addition to her espionage activities, parenthesis, she claims she's been working for something called the Commerce Department.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's what he wrote. The Commerce Department. Right. Close parenthesis. She managed to find time to fall in love.
Really?
Isn't that nice? The object of her affection is a Russian named, like all Russians, Sasha. He seems to be a great guy. There is, however, a problem. He doesn't speak English. In order to lure him to the United States, that's going to have to change. In that regard, my sister's recent visit brought news. She informed me that Sasha is now studying our beloved mother tongue. That was the good news. The bad news, however, is that he's learning it from the BBC.
Really?
This is a potential disaster. What if he comes over here speaking perfect BBC-style English? How humiliating would that be to have to listen to my sister's Russian boyfriend sounding more intelligent than me or anyone I know? Don't you know?
Yeah, I see the solution here.
You can see it, right? I have, however, discovered the perfect antidote. The solution to the problem. It's Car Talk language tapes.
Absolutely.
I am now going to tape your show every week and send it off to Sasha. And let him try to learn English from the variant of it that you guys use. I don't care how perfect the English is on the BBC. There's no way it can survive the assault of Car Talk. For every step forward he makes under the careful tutelage of those sonorous voices, he'll tumble 6 or 7 steps backward when his foot hits the banana peel you guys throw at his feet. It can't fail. Keep up the good work. Chris! The Car Talk language tapes. There are so many opportunities for businesses
yes.
that we are not just, we're not capitalizing
what's our,
on
what's,
this stuff.
What's our number?
1-800.
595-5905.
Oh, that's
with the
right.
Car Talk language tapes.
Of course. That's right. The best of.
Yes, the
well,
best
thanks,
of Car
Chris.
Talk language tapes.
I'm glad
tapes.
That we were able to help you out there.
You're a wise guy. We need more fans like that. Anyway, look, It's time for the new puzzler. Oh. And I did promise...
I'm going to pay such attention to you. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to stare right at your face. I'm going to listen to every word you speak. I'm going to, if I can't remember with my ears, I'm going to remember with my eyes. I'm going to be able to read your lips so that when you say, next week, do you remember the puzzler? I'm going to say, of course, bro.
Okay, this will be the test, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I can't. Go read something.
No, I'm going to watch you, man. You said, I made, what was my New Year's resolution? To pay attention.
Not to interrupt.
Not to interrupt, to pay attention, to hang on every word you speak. And here I am, man. I am hanging.
All right. A couple of weeks ago at the shop, I assigned one of the guys to tune up some vehicle. I said, oh, go throw a tune up on that thing.
Go throw a tune up on that thing.
Right. Throw a tune up on it.
Repetition might help too, you know? So, throw a tune up on that thing, yeah.
So he goes to this particular vehicle, and the steering is going to stop.
I found a way to shut him up. I can't believe it. Yeah, okay.
So he
throw a tune up on that.
That their thing.
That their thing. I got it, yeah.
And he comes back after a few minutes and he says, oh, there's something strange. It looks like there were a couple of vacuum hoses going to the distributor. but they're unplugged, and I don't know where they go.
Yeah.
And I said, well, one must be the vacuum advance, and one must be the retard. He said, oh, no. He said, this doesn't have a vacuum advance.
Ooh.
And or a retard.
Yeah.
So I said, well,
come on. What else can they be? Vacuum hoses are only for vacuum advance and retard.
He said, as a matter of fact, these hoses go to the distributor cap. I said,
come on.
You must have been hanging out with my brother because there are no hoses. There's no vacuum hoses that go to the distributor cap. And he said, oh, I believe they did or used to.
Yeah. So I believe they did or used to. I believe they did. They do. I'm just trying to, I figure if I can't listen to you, maybe I'll listen to me.
So sure enough, I walk over there.
Sure enough, I walk over there.
And?
And?
Oh, this is going to be tedious. New Year's resolutions last like 1 or 2 weeks generally, right? So,
sure enough, I walk over there. Come on.
And there are two spots on the distributor cap where hoses would attach.
There are two spots on the distributor cap where hoses would attach.
And I figure out that one of them goes to the manifold, and the other one actually connected to the air filter.
The other one actually connected to the air filter. How the hell can I forget this in just a week?
It'll be interesting to see how that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see exactly how it happens,
okay.
how it occurs.
Throw a tune-up on that thing! I like that line. Throw a tune-up on that thing.
I'm losing my train of thought.
Okay, go ahead. Come on, don't let me interrupt you.
Oh, yeah, that was your other resolution.
That was the other resolution.
Which you violated 17 times already in the last 5 minutes.
I did.
Sure enough, there were vacuum hoses going through this thing. And like I said, one goes to the manifold, and the other one goes to the air cleaner.
Air cleaner?
Air cleaner.
Air cleaner?
And I show him where they go, and he says, huh? And then he thought, when he realized what kind of a vehicle
I was taking a drink. Let me capture that.
No, too late.
Huh?
When he realized what kind of a vehicle he was tuning up, he said, oh, I guess it makes sense. And the question is, what kind of a vehicle was he tuning up? Now, this wasn't anything like a 54 Messerschmitt.
No,
this was 55. Something 55. This was something that you might yourself drive.
Sure.
Right. I mean,
many people have these.
There are thousands of these on the road.
Yeah.
And they're not Humvees or Jeeps or motorcycles. This is a passenger vehicle.
What kind of? We don't mean make and model.
No, I don't. Although you would get bonus points for that, and we might actually send you a tape or a CD with something on it.
Yeah. But just what kind? Generally, what kind of
what vehicle? What class of vehicle is this? Would that be a correct question
to ask? Yeah, that's good. I like that better.
Okay, now if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill and mail it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city. Throw a tune up on that.
02238. And if we choose your answer at random from among all of the correct answers and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of the Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD just in time for the holidays. You know, like Flag Day, Father's Day, Labor Day, one of those holidays. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dodie Messer Meeks in Houston, Texas.
Dodie.
Yes. Well, you may call me madam. Dodie can be difficult, huh?
No, Dodie's good.
Dodie, D-O-D-I-E?
That's right. My perfectly marvelous sons and their absolutely cosmic, wonderful, marvelous wives have given me this poetic automobile, which I so much enjoy having. I have a Nissan Stanza.
Mm. A Stanza. I see the poetic connection.
And it is a little poem.
Yes.
And it's great, but... there's a controversy going with my sons about the something which ought to be straightforward.
How many sons do you have? How many sons are involved here?
Four.
Four, and they all have wives?
They do.
Four sons and four daughters-in-law. Okay, and what's this controversy?
And I have a daughter, too. Oh, God, don't leave Helen out.
And a daughter. Okay, that's
all right.
10 people.
But here's the thing with the sons. Two of my sons, my marvelous sons, have given me this automobile. And the shift, lever, release, knob thing.
Wait a minute. Now, two of the sons gave you the car, and the other two and their wives didn't contribute?
Well, they're doing all sorts of other things.
Like what?
Painting her house.
Okay, we'll come back to this. I want to talk about that.
You're steering me off here.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay, so two of sons, the two nice sons, the good sons.
No, they're all wonderful sons.
Okay, I'm sorry.
One of them's the very best teacher. Teacher of Mathematics in Galveston, Texas, and the other one is the greatest salesman in Houston.
Sure, he talked the other two brothers into buying you a car.
Well, then the policeman and his wife live up the street, and they keep everything in repair. And
will you get on with the damn story, Dodie? Okay.
And the son who disagrees with the manual for the Nissan Stanza is, in fact, a machinist, and he knows all about engines and what makes engines operate properly.
Okay.
But stop digressing.
Okay.
Let's get on to the story,
right.
Will you?
Well, you led me into these digressions.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
All right. Here we have...
The shift lever.
The shift lever knob. And below the knob on this stem is a button which you can push to have the overdrive turned off.
That's correct.
Now, an orange light lights up when it's off.
Right.
And this arouses all sorts of free-floating anxiety in me. When I see any light on the dash, I being an antique, I get all sort of lump in the throat. Well, but the machinist's son says to ignore the manual, which would have you drive with the overdrive turned off constantly, except...
On the highway.
When you really need it, and how would I know when you need it? But he says drive with it turned off always, and that will have the light lit up, the warning light. And the manual says to drive with the overdrive perpetually and forever on.
Okay, now which son says to leave it off?
The machinist.
The one who knows all about engines.
Is he one of the sons who contributed to the purchase of this car?
No.
Will you get off of that? And you seem so gentle. And what have you done for your mother recently?
Not a damn thing.
What?
I'm going to assume that your machinist, your wonderful machinist son, knows something
brilliant
that we...
Brilliant and handsome.
Brilliant and handsome. Knows something that we don't know and that the manual doesn't know. And what that is where you drive.
Ah. Slowly and carefully and timorously, since I'm a little old lady. I'm older than the Queen of England.
Good. And around town?
On the feeder roads of the freeway with my heart beating fast. Houston has terrible freeways.
Yeah. So you do drive on the freeways?
Sometimes.
And at what speeds do you drive on
I go to Galveston, I can drive on the freeway because that's not so bad.
And
how
drive
fast?
60 miles an hour, right?
At least. The limit's now been increased, I think, to 70.
Oh, we got those guys. Okay, let's not digress again.
Yeah, and if you're in Montana, you can drive any damn speed.
Here's the deal, Dodie. Overdrive. What overdrive means is it's a method of getting increased gas mileage. And what it does...
Is?
Yeah. And what it does is it shifts...
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure of this. It shifts into shifts the transmission into a higher gear.
Oh.
And so you will get better gas mileage, and the engine will turn slower, so the engine will last longer.
Yeah. So that's the reason you get better gas mileage, is for the same speed, when you're in overdrive, the engine turns more slowly than it would in third gear. You basically have four gears in this transmission. You have first, second, third, and overdrive. If you're in third going at 60 miles an hour, the engine is probably turning at 3,500 RPM. If you're in overdrive at 60 miles an hour, it's turning probably at 3,000 RPM.
He's something of a show-off, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And therefore, because you've dropped 500 RPM off the engine speed while maintaining the same vehicle speed, you are using less gasoline.
Right. And so, theoretically, really, the truth is that neither the book nor your son is absolutely correct. And you shouldn't leave it in either of those things all the time. Because if you should leave it in one of those places all the time, then they wouldn't have the other one, right?
No, but if you're going to be absent-minded at all, then you should just leave it in overdrive all the time and forget it.
I am.
That would be good advice.
I'm very scatty.
And
if your wonderful, handsome, intelligent, brilliant machinist son wants to argue about it, tell him to feel free to give us a call, and we'll discuss it anytime, day or night.
Better than that, write us a letter.
They all listen to you.
Great.
They really do.
They do.
Doesn't everybody?
See you,
Dodie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Vacationing Rogers.
Yeah, he's going to be as bad as you know who.
Taking lessons from Loeb. Our engineer and assistant producer is
Speak of the devil, Jennifer traveled in Leisure Loeb and our technical advisor getting ready for the 1996 Pro-Am Free Lunch Tournament. Is John, Bugsy, Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte, make that two triple cheeseburgers, Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckoned With. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. Our child seat tester is Drew Lee Weiner. Our fleet manager is Oscar De Laurentiil. Our director of nutritional supplements, of course, is Rose Hips.
Yeah.
Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Trac. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our wardrobe was by Natalie Attired. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known among the snowplowers as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Now, if you want a copy of this week's show, which happens to be number 52...
You should have turned on your tape player.
You can call
an hour ago.
303-595-5905. Now, if you want a transcript of this week's show, call that 303-595-5905. Order show number 52, and you get it, write everything down. Now, the Best of Car Talk on CD and cassette is also available through that same number, which happens to be 303-595-5905.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
Celebrating 25 years of radio excellence.
25? What about the 8 years that we've been on?
Celebrating 17 years of radio excellence.
That's
and
right.
8 years of following us down the tubes. This is NPR National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Get the service you deserve with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover. Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to vuori.com/NPR.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.